started. The man spoke Norte, but with a thick accent which it took me a moment to penetrate. He was a small man with the compact build of a bulldog. The bulldog look didn't stop at his physique, either. He had a pugnacious, permanently argumentative face, a flat nose and a scalp bristling sparsely with extremely short hairs. He unrumpled his clothes.
"Yes, I'm quite all right, thank you. The oaf started threatening me verbally, then started actually hurting me. At that point I was hoping someone would do something, but it was like I'd suddenly become part of the decor."
"Yes, I noticed." I looked around at the other passengers disparagingly. "You fought back, though."
"Fat lot of good it did me."
"I'm afraid Vadim here doesn't look the type to recognize a valiant gesture when he sees one. Are you sure you're all right?"
"I think so. A little nausea, that's all."
"Wait." I snapped my fingers at the servitor, hovering in cybernetic indecision some meters away. When it came closer, I tried to buy another shot of Scoptex, but I had exhausted my shipboard funds.
"Thank you," the man said, setting his jaw, "but I think I've sufficient funds in my own account."
He spoke to the machine in Canadian, too quickly and softly for me to follow, and a fresh hypo popped out for use. I turned to Vadim while the other man fumbled the hypo into a vein. "Vadim, I'm going to be generous and let you leave now, but I don't want to see you in this room again." He looked at me with his lips curled, flecks of vomit glued to his face like snowflakes.
"It's not over between you and me, Mirabelle."
He unhooked himself, paused and looked around at the other passengers, obviously trying to regain some margin of dignity before he departed. It was a pretty wasted effort, since I had something else planned for him. Vadim tensed, ready to kick off.
"Wait," I said. "You don't think I'm going to let you leave before you pay back whatever you've stolen, do you?"
He hesitated, looking back at me.
"I have not stolen anything from you."
Then to the other man, "or you, Mr. Quirrenbach." "Is that true?" I asked the man he'd just addressed. Quirrenbach hesitated too, glancing at Vadim before answering,
"Yes, yes. He hasn't stolen anything from me. I didn't speak to him until now."
I raised my voice. "What about the rest of you? Did this bastard con you out of anything?" Silence. It was more or less what I had expected. No one was going to be the first to admit that they had been duped by a small-time rat like Vadim, now that they had seen how pitiful he could become.
"See," Vadim said, "there isn't anyone, Mirabelle."
"Maybe not here," I said. I reached out with my free hand and snagged the fabric of his coat. The rough quilted patches were as cool and dry as snakeskin. "But what about all the other passengers on the slowboat? Chances are you've already fleeced a few of them since we left Idlewild."
"So what if I did?" he said, almost whispering. "It is none of your concern, is it?"
Now his tone was changing by the second. He was squirming before me, shifting into something more pliant than when he had first entered the Commons.
"What do you want to stay out of this? What is it worth to you to back out and leave me alone?"
I had to laugh. "Are you actually trying to buy me off?"
"It's always worth try."
Something inside me snapped. I dragged Vadim back, slamming him against the wall so hard that he was winded again, and began to pummel him. The enveloping red haze of my anger washed over me like a warm, welcoming fog. I felt ribs shatter under my fists. Vadim tried to fight back, but I was faster, stronger, my fury more righteous.
"Stop," said a voice, sounding like it came from halfway